The Lord blessed us to see His light. The Lord blessed us to see His hand. The Lord blessed us to see His goodness. The Lord blessed us to see Him in His word. And the Lord blessed us to see His revelation. Throughout the church ages, no turning back. Amen. The children of God who see Him in His word, we cannot be blinded again by the world. So I read the verse again as we go into prayers. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's all prepare our hearts as we pray. O glorious Jesus Christ, our Lord, great Redeemer, the great Deliverer, wonderful Counselor, how beautiful You are, our Lord. How merciful You are, how gracious You are, how mighty You are, the Holy One of Israel. Thank You, Lord, that You loved us first. Thank You, Lord, that You remembered all of us. Thank You, Lord, that You decided to fulfill Your promises in our life. Thank You, Lord, we are grateful. What we received is beyond what we could think of. May You bless us, Lord, to understand the privilege that we all received, the exceedingly great reward, Jesus Christ. Yahweh is salvation, and we receive that name in our life, O Lord. A powerful name before which everything bows down. Thank You, Lord, for the name that is ruling all of us. We are all called to live and die for that name. And that old man must die. The new man, born of spirit, will live forever and ever with the true life, the tree of life, the Prince of life, the Prince of peace. Blessed be Your holy name, our Savior. Thank You, Lord. We all experience Your love. Even in the midst of tribulations, afflictions, pain, sorrow, Lord, we can feel You are covering us with Your mighty wings. You are holding us in Your mighty hands. We can feel Your touch, O Lord. Because the way You comfort us, there is no love in this world can comfort the way You comfort us, O Lord. You love us, O Lord. May You bless us to realize the power that we all have in Your love. May You bless all of us to realize how strong we are in Your love. Not physically, not mentally, but to hold on to the anchor. Despite any storm that may come and rock the ship, O Lord, we will hold on to the anchor. You are our shield. You are our strong tower. You are the hope of our eternal glory. Blessed be Your holy name. Walk in the midst of us today, O Lord. Touch us. Fill us with Your Holy Ghost. Fill us, Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is all we need. We are called to seek the kingdom of God. The Spirit of God is liberty. Thank You, Lord. You call all of us to build this kingdom of priests as we continue to learn from Thy scripture, from Thy word, concerning what we should do. Our clothing, our garment, the sound that our life makes, the words that we speak from the abundance of our heart. May You wash us, teach us, prune us today. We submit in Thy presence. We surrender. May You bless us, Lord, to continue to walk with You humbly. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all prayed, Amen and Amen. God bless you all. Greetings to you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for all things. Let's turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. By God's grace, last Sunday, we finished up to 17. And today we shall continue from 18. But before that, I want all of us to seek the Lord's guidance why we are talking about Aaron and David at the same time. From Exodus 17:28, now we are in 1 Samuel 16:17-18. Why? The title of last Sunday's sermon is The Anointing of Kings. Amen? The previous Sunday sermon, the title is The Anointing of Priests. Book of Exodus covers how the Lord anointed His priests. 1 Samuel covers how the Lord anointed His kings, starting from King Saul, then King David, then goes on, King Solomon, and goes on. Until the Lord put an end to the kingdom of Israel, the Lord started changing seasons. Patriarchs, leaders of Israel, Moses, Joshua, then moving to kings, judges, then kings, Samuel, the prophet the Lord anointed to anoint the kings of Israel. Then they lost whatever the Lord gave them. They fell in the trap and they became captives of Babylon. And the kingdoms changed. The Gentiles' age entered. King Nebuchadnezzar came. King Cyprus came. So many things happened before Jesus Christ entered the scene to fulfill what He will do on Calvary. That was His only goal. Amen. Not to come and heal people, not to come and, you know, show you His power and authority. No. He came with a purpose, and that purpose is to die for you and me. As He continues to walk in that 3.5 years of around that timeline of walking journey, He decided to speak, He decided to reveal, He decided to heal, He decided to set the standard high for all the apostles to follow Him. And He went to Calvary and fulfilled His duty. So our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is called the High Priest, who intercedes for all of us in prayers, He told Peter, "Peter, I have prayed for thee." He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. John 17 presents the way Jesus Christ unfolds how He prays. He prayed for Himself, He prayed for the disciples, He prayed for the servants of God, then He prayed for the children of God who are yet to be saved. He set the standard. Are we prepared before you want to bring someone? Are we prepared before you want the Lord to heal someone? If the mirror is not transparent, the light cannot reflect. If we are cloudy, we are dark in terms of some smoke, and the lamp is burning but the light is not going out, the Lord says, take the bone out of your eye first. Clean your lamp. Wash your heart. Be prepared. That was a warning the Lord gave to Aaron and priests, the sons of Aaron, sons and sons of Aaron. And God told Moses, talk to them what I spoke to you, and they will do what I wanted them to do. But you know the beauty is, those who built the tabernacle, those who prepared the garments, those who brought the oil for anointing, do you think they survived? Ask yourself a question. Exodus 17:19-24-28, it presents the Lord's commandment to the children of Israel. Do this for me. Build a sanctuary for me. They did all the work. But what happened to those people in Exodus 32? What happened to those people when Phinehas threw the spear? Who are those people who died during the time of wilderness? Who are those people the Lord eliminated during the 40 years of wilderness? Weren't they the same people who built the tabernacle, who brought all the tools and all the things God wanted them to bring? So just because we do something for the Lord, does that mean that our seat in the promised land is reserved? Is that so? Whatever the Lord wanted His children to do, the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord was resting upon the people who were called to do the work of the Lord. So who did the work? The people, or the Spirit of the Lord resting upon the people? Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. If at all that vessel, that man, that woman, that brother, that sister received the privilege of witnessing the Spirit of the Lord bearing witness with your spirit, to the point whereby you suppressed your flesh, to the point whereby the Lord said, I am pleased, let me come in. And He knocked the door of your heart, He entered in. He walked inside and he did not see any other master. He was the only one. He did the job through you. But the next day, you can tell the Lord, there is a subterranean coming in. My flesh, the master of my life, the Lord of this world, he also wants to come and stay with you. Can you share the room? He will leave. He is very possessive, you know. The Lord says, the firstborn of Israel are mine. The Lord used the word mine, mine, mine. He says, mine. It means, this is mine. If you want to come and take it from me, come try. Do you have the courage to take my children from my hand? No one can do that. But the children can scratch the Lord's hand, you know, with complaints, with unbelief, with unfaithfulness, with pride, with ego, with unforgiving, all the things that God hates. Because the scripture says, he is light, in him there is no darkness. If you try to create some darkness inside his hand, he will spit you out. We may think, the Lord allowed me to go on a journey where I'm going to grow spiritually, but the Lord would say, I spat you out. I just throw you out. The Lord wants us to learn from the wilderness. It's called wilderness because the people of Israel, they stick together as one unit. There were no two different groups searching for the promised land as if it was a treasure hunt. See which group reached the place first. It was one unit. As if one man walking on the plain led by the Spirit of God, how we read in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord said, watchman, come, go to the plain, I will meet you there. If that one man is the multitude of Israel, the Lord led the people of Israel with the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. And his spirit rested on the tabernacle whenever he descended to show the people, my Shekinah glory is here. Don't be scared. Fear me and fear none. The Lord showed all things to people. The Lord who showed the people, you cannot come near to me. The Lord gave the power of Holy Ghost, the power of resurrection for him to dwell inside us. You look at the way that we are living our life right now. You are nothing but the tabernacle where the people took time, put all those efforts to build the tabernacle for the Lord to come and touch them on a far distance. What he said, O people, worship me, ye, far off, don't you dare to come near me. We will dive deep today by God's grace why he said that. It's like I tell my son, don't touch me. He will say, Father, I want to come and hug you. I want to play with you. Don't touch me. Go stand far. He would be heartbroken, right? Can you say this to your wife or your husband or your child, the one whom you love? The Lord has not spoken anything without love. Remember this. Even when he say, I will destroy you, he said that in love. Because there is always a condition statement. If you don't do this, I will destroy you. But don't worry, I will help you in the two-letter if. I will come and show my power in that if. You and me together, we will overcome your flesh. You and me together, we will bring victory for the blood of Christ that was shed for you on Calvary. Then that if will bring you to go to the other side of life. If the Lord said, do whatever you want, try whatever you want, I will destroy you, we are done. But he didn't say that. He never said that. I will do this if you do this. If you do this, I will do this. He is righteous. So righteous. So now, the anointing of kings, the anointing of priests. Where do you stand? You are standing right in the middle. Amen? Just now we read, book of Revelation says, kingdom of priests. Why the Lord needs to build a kingdom of priests? What the priest will do? A priest will come to the holy presence of God with the right clothing, right mind, right attitude, wise behavior, holding on to reverence and honor. And when he offers a sacrifice, the Lord smells it. He says, sweet aroma. I will take it. When he plays the music, the Lord says, wow, beautiful music. Oh, the golden bells are dancing. Aaron, are you here? Imagine you have golden bells around your shirt now. Don't feel like, you know, we are all jokers. But just imagine for a blessed inspiration. If you have golden jewels on your body, like a bells. So when you walk, it will make some music. When you run, the music will be different. When you jump, it brings out a different music, correct? Every movement of your body will produce a different pattern of sound.
Because the golden bells does not listen to you. It listens to the work. It plays tune to the work of your body, correct? So let's say we are the body of Christ. And the Lord said, "Oh, Aaron, high priest, I'm going to put some golden bells and pomegranate on your garment. So when you walk, people know that you're walking." Okay? If the Lord makes me to stand in a green pasture, the Lord says, "I'm going to send the east wind. Then all the bells will be hit by the beautiful gentle breeze. It will give a beautiful music, correct? Like when you sit on the seashore, you will hear the beautiful music of waves." No, they conduct orchestra all the time. Nobody's stopping it. The music of nature, which proclaims the Lord's glory. So when the east wind comes and hit my body, the bells all move to one side, it makes a music. Then the Lord sent west from north. So it depends on the breeze, depends on the speed of the wind, the bells will react to it, will create a music. Amen? So, what the Lord called all of us? Be led by my spirit. The spirit is always called like a mighty, rushy wind. Amen? It's like when apostles received the Holy Ghost, a mighty, rushing wind came and filled the house. Today we sang the song, "The train of his robe fills the temple." Have you focused on the words of the song? The train of his robe fills the temple. The mighty rushing wind fills the house. So how his garment look like? He clothed light for his garment. How his garment looks like? The Bible says, "He who dwells in unapproachable light." If it is unapproachable, how can I approach? If the truth is hidden, how can I find? The Bible says, the life that was hid in Christ, the revelation that is hidden in him. If he reveals, the revelation is revealed to you. The truth is revealed to you. So, today, by God's grace, we will continue the way Moses anointed Aaron and the Lord threw Aaron into a valley of golden calf, and the way Samuel, the prophet, anointed David and the Lord threw David in a valley against Goliath. So, throughout the sermon today, whenever I utter the name Goliath, it should not remind you the enemy from Philistine. It's not a person. Goliath in your life is you. Don't try to think that, "Oh, my supervisor, or this brother who always fight with me, hurt me." You are your Goliath. Don't go too further. When you go to the mirror, you will see the Goliath. Whatever God hates, if you can do, you are the Goliath in your valley. When you walk in a sunlight, when the sunlight hits your body, you will see a big shadow right behind you. You are just 5 feet, 6 feet, but your shadow will go 8 feet, 10 feet, 12 feet because of the way the shadow can actually, you know, expand. Correct? Oh, mighty Goliath, standing behind you. You, your flesh. We are our biggest threat in our walk with the Lord. So, by God's grace, today we will focus on why David had been called for such a battle in such a way. Shepherd's bag, 5 stones, 5, smooth stones, not sharp. If you tell me, "No, brother, don't exaggerate." When Moses' wife circumcised his son, what the scripture says? She found a sharp stone and circumcised Moses' son Gershon because she was scared the Lord might kill him. Correct? Did the scripture say, was it a smooth stone? It was a sharp stone. You could see the beautiful difference. Sharp stone used for circumcision to protect the child of Moses when he said, "I'm a stranger in the land." And she told the husband, "You are a bloody husband to me." And here, there is a mentioning of smooth stone, exactly opposite to sharp stone. But this sharp stone sunk into the head of Goliath, not the chest, head. 5 stones, shepherd's bag, and a shepherd who left the sheep to sheepkeeper, the shepherd who left the supplies to supply keeper, he ran to the valley because his brother Eliab, the moment he saw him, his jealous, his anger, his pride, all came at full force, and he scolded David, cursed David, insulted David. "Why are you here? Go and take care of sheep. What are you doing here?" But David was not distracted. David could not be pulled down even by his own brother.
David could not be slowed down even by his own brother. He was running here and there because he knew that there was no time. The more he delays, the more Philistines prevail. The more he delays, the fear of Goliath spreads across the nation. He must put an end of that poison spreading in the body of Christ. Correct? The son of David, he came down and he met all of us to destroy what? The lack of understanding that looks very mighty, the fear of man, the fear of death, the fear of sickness, the fear of the world. It's nothing but the Goliath in our life. And the son of David, because all those people who were sick, they did not call him Jesus. Most of them, they called him, son of David, heal me. Son of David, heal me. And Jesus himself said, I am the root and offspring of the family of David. Amen. And our Lord, from the bottom of his heart, his shepherd's back, where he carries you and me in his bosom. Isn't it? He carried all of us in his mind. He carried all of us in his bosom. By his grace, by the abundance of his grace, he spoke words. When he said, Matthew, come and follow me, a smooth stone went and hit the flesh of Matthew. The old man died, fell, the new man born, Matthew followed Christ. Amen? Every time the apostles of God, the servants of God, the teachers of God, the evangelists of God, the pastors of God, all the anointed vessels of God, whenever they take their hand of God, put inside the shepherd's bag their heart, from the abundance of the heart, five, the Lord will teach you what to pray, how to pray, for you do not premeditate which stone you will choose. When you put your hand inside your heart, the Lord will give you the right stone, the right word, the right intent, the right action, the right behavior for you to spit out. Do you really think David was walking so slow, taking the stone in a slow motion and say, Goliath, you're standing at 10 feet. I'm going to throw a stone like this. Catch it. Oh, Goliath, no, were they playing, you know, like throwing stones here and there? The way David threw the stone, it was so fast, so mighty, so powerful. Even the mighty soldier of Philistines couldn't even see the stone came to his head. He had his armor, he had his sword, he had everything beautifully clothed except the exposed naked part of his forehead. And he hit him at the weakest point of his body. Correct? His chest was not exposed. He had a mighty armor. He had armor all around his body. It is beautifully described. 500 shekels, 6 cubits, this and that. But who cares? Your forehead is exposed, naked. And the Lord will hit you at your lack of understanding. If you really say, Lord, I receive you. I receive the mind of Christ. Which means the son of David destroy the Goliath of your lack of understanding and you embrace the mind of Christ. But there are people who could not kill Goliath. He lives inside them. The adversary lives inside them. The one who profaned the name of the Lord. The one who encouraged you. It's okay, man. Hold on to me. I am the lack of understanding. Oh, sorry, I said wrong. I am the surplus understanding. The way the flesh deceives us, it always speaks to us in a soft-spoken voice. It's okay. The Lord is letting this happen in your life. Just wait. Let's take a few more years to heal. And the Lord says, today is the day. No, don't listen to him. It's going to be maybe next season. The way our life is deceiving us, the way the battle against true understanding and the lack of understanding happening in the valley of seven church ages, and the Lord is keep on sending his messengers, first church age, second church age, who came holding onto the grace of the Lord, carrying the shepherd's bag, putting the tongue, the heart into the marvelous light of the Lord, speaking the words out of it, throwing stones here and there. They were not killing people. They were killing wickedness. Do you really think when Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter spoke, Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized. Took a stone, smooth stone, from the shepherd's bag. He threw it. 3,000 people, lack of understanding, destroyed. And 3,000 people, they said, what we should do? Be baptized. And they did accordingly. The Lord is not playing grace and mercy game with us. We have to understand the word grace. It has a timeline after which the gates will be shut. You can split race with the gracious Lord, no? The way the Lord gave us the grace. It's a race.
We are all called to run our race the way David was running here and there. The way Abraham was running here and there to prepare the food for those three who came. Because you may not get another chance. Have you ever thought, when Abraham sent the angels away from his house, they went to Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked ahead and saw, right? Why he didn't follow them? Lot is there. His family is there. Abraham was pleading to the Lord, Lord, how about 10 righteous men? Would you still destroy it? The Lord says, okay, fab deal. No, let's close the deal here. Don't go down. Let's keep it at 10. They made a deal. After the deal, Abraham saw two men. They walked away. Fair. Towards Sodom and Gomorrah. But why Abraham did not follow them? Because he was not invited. Did the Lord say, Abraham, are you free? You want to come with me or what? He didn't say anything. The Lord did not call him to come. And he didn't ask the Lord. He just did what he's supposed to do. All the servants of God, they know where they stand. They know where to speak. They know where to be quiet. They know where to go, where not to go. Why? Because the feet is controlled by the mind of Christ. The tongue is controlled by the abundance of your heart. There are a lot of blessed inspirations concerning the word shepherd's bag. But for all of us, let's do not forget. If the Lord is the master of your heart, if that good shepherd, he lives in your heart, your heart is your shepherd's bag. Out of the abundance of your heart, you speaketh. Your mind of Christ goes inside your heart. Examine everything. Which stone I should take now? There are 5 stones. Should I take the inky, pinky, punky? No. The scripture says, do not premeditate what you shall speak. It will be revealed to you at the time when you speak. When you are cornered, when the adversary surrounds you, don't think too much. Just believe in the Lord. He has stored smooth stones in your life, in your heart. He has filled you with His goodness. He knows how to lead you to speak you out of it. You don't fight to come out of it. You speak to come out of it. How Stephen escaped? Do you know? Stephen actually escaped. He found his way out. Because he was cornered, he had no wings to fly. So he was thinking, what I should do? Everybody was trying to kill him. He found a way. He said, oh, I could see a bridge. I can walk to him. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I'm sending my love to you. Take it. Catch it. He threw himself to him. And Jesus caught him. He said, receive my spirit. I'm sending. Which means what? I'm sending. Receive me, Lord. The Lord can make a way out of any situation. I think I'm glad to saw the song that we sang today. He will make a way out of nowhere. The problem is you are thinking about some way and you want the Lord to make that way. He would say, turn upside down. I am making a way. Others say, no. I know my Lord. He knows my heart. He loves me. He's my Father. I know only for this side of gate on the east side will be open. You will see the gate on 3 sides open. But you will be fixing your eyes on your golden calf, not on the author of your salvation. So, anointing of king, David did what King Saul couldn't do. Correct? King Saul could not defeat Goliath. One chapter before, the scripture says, King Saul, he destroyed Amalekites. He just returned from a battle of Amalek. He destroyed all of them. No issue. But Goliath, he has never seen such a physical form. Such a mighty, fear-feeding form. When everyone saw Goliath, they were scared. And they thought, we have never faced such battle. This is too hard for the Lord's hand. Without even thinking. Everybody feared. So what the Lord said? Move. David came down and he did what the king of Israel was supposed to do. But before he do that, he received the blessing from people. What will happen? The one who will kill Goliath. And the people said, the king will give his daughter. Didn't they say that? The king must give his daughter as the bride to the groom who will marry her to establish his kingdom. Does it ring a bell? Are you the bride? The son of David, he is your groom, correct? He will come and marry us, amen? He will come and take us home. And he is fighting the battle for all of us, amen? He will overcome the battle of righteousness. He will destroy wickedness. He will destroy chaos. He will destroy death. And he will marry you. He will take the bride for himself. He will marry. That marriage of the Lamb, none stopping it. The marriage of the Lamb, no one is stopping it. But now, what we should do? What we should do as the bride of Christ? So the Lord just told us in book of Revelation, kingdom of priest, not the wilderness of priest. I told you in chapter 17, before 17, when Jethro talked to Moses, Moses, what happened to you? What are you doing? You are judging people from day to evening. How come the priest was allowed to judge the people of Israel? If the scripture says Aaron, the high priest, he had a breastplate with 12 stones depicting the 12 tribes of Israel, the scripture says, you shall bear the judgment of my children on your breast, on your heart. So that when you come before me, it's a remembrance for me. You remind me of my promises continually. But Moses was judging people one to another, and then he appointed leaders, elders, judges to handle them. Does it sound like a kingdom? Who defeated King Pharaoh? Moses, right? In the scripture, have you seen any other place where a king was defeated by anyone else? A king fights against a king, correct? And a king defeated by a king, because it's a battle of two nations. But the nation of Israel was not formed. It was nothing but multitude of Israel who had no land to call for their own. Moses was leading as a prophet, as a judge, as a leader, and he was fighting the battle against Pharaoh without chariots, without swords, without mighty valiant men, but just by the word of God. The Lord says, Moses, go and stick this, stretch your hand, I will settle everything. All done. But the real battle for Moses began when the wilderness started. Not by the enemies outside, but by the lack of understanding, stiff-necked, fleshful nature of our own life that kicks in. That was the purpose the Lord threw them into wilderness. It was not a 40 years of wilderness. It's 40 years of perfection before he blessed a certain group to enter the promised land. Amen? Perfectly planned. Crafted by the great Almighty. Now, if that Aaron, the anointed high priest, and if that David, the anointed servant who will become the king, and kingdom of priests, the anointing is the one that stays on top for both of them, correct? The anointing of the Lord destroys the yoke, correct? The power of anointing destroys the yoke. Which yoke? For David, it was a yoke of Philistines. But for Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Eleazar, all the priests of God, it was a yoke of the iniquity of the people. Correct? They were running away from themselves in the wilderness. The Lord said, I'm going to consume you all. Lord, I don't see any Philistines, no Amalekites. I see you. They were the biggest threat in the wilderness, correct? The Lord will keep on consuming them, opening the earth, sending fire, giving them plague, sickness. He was eliminating one by one to the point whereby the second generation circumcised by Joshua spiritually in our present established truth. Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation, who circumcised us in spirit, in our heart, by the power of Holy Ghost. By the power of resurrection, they were born. The second generation was born. The old man died. The new man was born. Only then, born of spirit, walk by faith, and the lamp of the word of the Lord entered into the promised land. Who is the promised land? He, the Lord of my Sabbath, who gives me rest. Amen? So the Old Testament is not a physical way of, you know, looking at, oh, 600,000. It's a big crowd, man. How can they manage? Don't go too far. Put yourself in every child of God, every servant of God, in their mistakes, in their blessedness. How would you react? Examine yourself. Self-examining, self-reflection, it's a mirror. Now the mirror will show where do we stand. Anything that makes you to fear something more than you fear God, that something is your Goliath, holding you, not even standing far away. He's carrying you in his hand. Cut him off. Cut that thought off. Cut that bad influence off. Cut off. Karat. By how? Not by fighting, scratching. The power of anointing destroys the yoke. The Holy Ghost, by whom we are clothed as a word bride, we have to learn from the way the Lord clothed his priests in the Old Testament, and the way the Lord clothed his kings in the Old Testament, and the way the Lord clothed his apostles in the New Testament. There was a clothing, a covering. So let's go to the scripture, Exodus chapter 24.
Before I go to Samuel, I believe we should reflect what happened to Moses before he anointed Aaron. Because there must be preparation, right? Moses cannot simply go and anoint Aaron. Because Moses himself had gone through his own contention with the Lord about his unfaithfulness, his unbelief. The Lord says he can do it, but Moses said, no, I am still the master of my life. I am the Lord of my heart. I am telling you I can't do it. We do this, right? We do this. The Lord says, I am the Lord of your heart. You told this 2 weeks ago. That was 2 weeks ago. Today I am the Lord of my house. I can't do it. When the Lord says you can do it, you obey. You can do it. Do it what? I can do all things, yea, deep things of God through Christ who strengthens me. Now, when Moses told the people, the Lord told us, worship ye afar off. In 24, that was not the first warning. There was a severe warning before that in 19. But before that, let's read 24 from verse 1 to verse 8. Then we will read from 9 to 18. I will read from verse 1 to 8. And Brother Clement, please help to read from 9 to 18. Moses sacrifices to the Lord. That is how this chapter begins. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people of all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, not two voice, not three voice, one voice. And said, all the words which the Lord had said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars. 12 pillars should remind us how the Revelation, Book of Revelation, beautifully presents the apostolic foundation of our life, the 12 pillars, on which, you know, the Lord is building his house, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took off of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord had said will we do and be obedient. Which exactly what happened when Ezra, the scribe, when he read all the people who received understanding, and they said the same. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. He sprinkled it half on the altar. Then he sprinkled the rest on what? The people. For what? Aren't you the partakers of the altar? The scripture has called all of us, you are the partakers of the altar. Amen? The partakers of the heavenly calling, the New Testament says. The Old Testament says, partakers of the altar. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. All the words had spoken pointing to the blood that sprinkled on the altar and the people. Amen? Yes, sir. Please continue from here. As I write.
Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it was a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity.
Amen.
But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I'll give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, wait here for us until we are back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up unto the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire at the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Moses was on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 13 says, Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. But after he went, verse 14 says, he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. Did he say, I come again unto you? Or did he say, we come again unto you? Then who was with him? And why he told them, tarry ye here for us? And he mentioned two names explicitly that we should remember. Aaron and Hur. When Joshua was thrown into battle, who were those two supported the hands of Moses? Aaron and Hur. Amen? But this time they were on the top of the mountain with Moses to pray for the battle that was going on. Whenever Moses lowered his hand, the enemy prevailed over Joshua. Whenever he lifted up his hands, Joshua prevailed over the enemy. Praise the Lord. So now, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. Two is better than one. All the time. The Lord always, always, he talks about fellowship. Always. Now, the scripture talks about glory of the Lord covered the mount. Amen? This is where Moses disappeared from the sight of people. But when the people saw, they did not simply saw it as a glory of the Lord. How they saw it? You see, verse 17 says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Do you see the gap? Moses says he entered into a thick cloud of anointing. The presence of the Lord. Glorious presence of the Lord. For him, it was labeled as cloud, thick cloud, smoke. And the glory of the Lord, the sight of the glory of the Lord. The sight of the presence of the Lord. The sight of the works of the Lord. The sight of the revelation of the Lord. The sight of the true ministry of the Lord. For the children of Israel, when they saw it, it was like a devouring fire. Like a devouring fire. Now, from here, I want all of us to go back to chapter 19. So that we understand why the Lord was so specific about this distance. Isn't it? A distance. There's a distance. Chapter 19. Let's read how beautifully the Lord speaks to us. Verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. There Israel came before the mount. This is actually happening after Jethro told Moses to appoint people to judge the people of Israel, so that Moses can focus on spending time with the Lord, because he has to write things, he has to prepare the people of Israel, he has a very unique task to complete for the Lord. And God did not speak this to him directly, but rather he passed a message to Moses through Jethro. Why? He tests you all the time. Don't think that the Lord is so familiar to you. He would test you all the time. He would speak to you through anyone, absolutely anyone. Even through a non-believer, you will receive a sermon. If you are sensitive to the voice of God, you know who is speaking. Don't think that you are so special. No. The one who is in you, he is special. Verse 3 says, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob. House of Jacob. He reminds, the name was changed to Israel. And tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings. We sang a song today, Wings of Faith. Praise the Lord. Eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then.
Look at the way the Lord established conditions. He's a great legal expert. He put clause 1, clause 2, clause 3, commandments 1, word of the Lord 1, 2, 3. He says everything very clear. When you look, it looks like a prison wall. Not a wall of compulsion, but wall of love. For us not to perish. He says, if ye be obedient and keep my covenant, then, only then, okay? Condition apply. Then, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Why? We say, Lord, you are my treasure. The Lord says, you are my treasure. Lord, we see you. You are our life. You are our everything. The Lord says, you are the apple of my eye. You can never beat him the way he loves us. He loves us more than what we would want to love him. More than our words can describe. He says, you will be a peculiar people to me. A treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. He again says, everything is mine. That is how all glory of the Lord will fill all the earth. Amen? He says, earth is mine. But the principality, wickedness, the power, the evil authority, the sickness that is covering the earth, it is not his. Because he cannot identify himself with evil. But the beautiful creation of earth that is covered by the stronghold of this world is not his. But the earth is his. Amen? He says, my creation, the purest form as it is mine. Whatever is covering it is, it's not mine. He excludes himself. He identifies himself with the side of life, light, purity. Now he says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Now ask yourself, Aaron was called by the Lord to be anointed, consecrated, sanctified, washed, clothed, praise the Lord, for what? To bear the iniquity of the holy things on his forehead with a gold plate and the breastplate with 12 stones for the judgment of the people. The Lord told Aaron, my son, I'm keeping you as a medium, as a vessel, for me not to consume my people. Offer sacrifice, offer prayers, supplications, come with songs, do something so that I'm keep on reminded of my love, my promises to my children. So the priests of the Lord, they were interceding, standing in the gap for that devouring fire, which was a mighty, glorious presence of the Lord, like with a thick cloud of anointing for Moses, which was seen by a devouring fire for people, and the priests are standing exactly in between. Correct? Because if you think that devouring fire may destroy me, the Lord will be thinking, I'm going to hug my child, I'm coming closer and closer. You will say, oh, this evil devouring fire, he's going to destroy me. He looks like Goliath. You can't even differentiate who is good shepherd, who is Goliath, if you are scared. We do crazy things when we fear. When we are scared of something, I pray, may the Lord grant us quietness, stillness, do nothing, wait. Regain your consciousness in the Lord. Realize your power in His Word. Understand that He is still in control. Then speak, then do. Do not do when you are so happy, you will do even worse things. And do not do anything when you are so sad. Both are vulnerable. If you draw a circle, so much happiness, so much weariness will meet at the same point. What is that? Unbalanced yoke. You completely forgot the Lord. We have to bring to the balance of the Lord's presence and His control. Wait upon the Lord. Wait for His voice to tell us what to do. How you discern it, you will feel a peace. You will feel the peace in your heart. I am losing, but yet I know this is the right thing to do. And this right thing is because of my righteous master. So I will do it. Not with a compulsion. Cheerful heart. Why? If you can't be with cheerful heart, you know what will happen? You will hurt yourself even more. You will be so weary, so guilty. Why? Because you want to serve the Lord, but you also want to carry your flesh with you. The burden is doubled. One, burden of the Lord, which is light, and your burden, that is darkness. So now, here the Lord says, the people, you are special to me. Above all the people, why? I call you to stand in the gap for me. Now, verse 7 onwards,
you would see the other side of the Lord's word. So far, beautiful, right? Yeah, you know, it sounds so good. People of Israel, everything is peculiar people. I know it. This King Pharaoh did not know the peculiarity of our life. He just put us in the prison, tortured us. Look what happened to him. He's gone. Entire army of Pharaoh, judged by my righteous judge. Because I'm so blessed. We are so special. God did not finish speaking. Verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people. Because the Lord said, holy nation. Correct? He said, holy nation. Nation is ruled by a king. They are still in the wilderness. What do you mean by holy nation? The Lord says, I call you to be my holy nation. And not just that, he said, kingdom of priests. So there must be a king who is also a priest. Correct? Because the Lord says, I am the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the high priest of priests, the church of the firstborn. The chief apostle who start the journey of apostolic faith. Verse 7 says, he called all the elders of the people, not the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. What do you mean by laid before their faces? And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Ring a bell. We just read it in 24. People did not start that in 24. They were like that from 19 onwards. But they did not do it. They were like that. No? We will support you, Jesus Christ. Go on, Master. Give as many parables you want. Don't worry. On Calvary, you see who we are. We will shield you. We will surround you. No enemy can lay your hands on you. No cross can come on your shoulder. Don't worry, we are there. No one was there. He was alone. Everybody left him. Betrayed him. The one who gave them everything, he was betrayed. That is who we are. And we say, and all the people said, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. How mighty this statement is. The Lord says, my word will never return unto me in vain. So, imagine God loaded Moses with food on the top of the mountain. He told Moses, go down, give the food to my people, they will eat, they will get some strength, some joy, some encouragement, they will do some work. And whatever they do, take it and come back to me. It could be a love letter, it could be a beautiful art, it could be a bow and arrow, it's okay. Whatever they do, joyfully for me, just bring it. So Moses, being the messenger of the word of God, he rolled down from the mountain, fell on the ground, and he spoke to the people what the Lord said. People heard and they do something. Moses carried what the people acknowledged and he again climbing the mountain. Like how Isaac was carrying the wood on his shoulder, he was carrying for what? To kill, not to be a sacrifice by himself. And Moses returned the words of the Lord unto the Lord. Why? God can't hear them. But the Lord told them, worship me, ye afar off. Stand at a distance where I don't listen to you. Stand at a distance where I don't listen to your cries, your complaints, your moaning, your groaning, no, your unfaithfulness, there is a desire sometimes when we are not contented. Have you experienced it? When you are not contented in your life, no matter whatever you have, you won't be content. You think you want to be perfect, you will keep on running towards some perfection. You would never feel satisfied. You feel something is lacking in me. I have done all of this, but still something is lacking in me. Not something. The Lord is not in us. The grace that is sufficient, that brings us the contentment, He is not in us. Do not chase. That is vanity. We will keep on running until we die. And that vanity is not real. And the Lord called Moses, come to me with something. Return. Bring me the yield. Amen. So Moses went and told the Lord, this is what the people said. And what the Lord responded. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. Not a light, shallow cloud. Thick cloud, as mighty as you want me to be. Anointing. That the people may hear when I speak with thee. See, the Lord said, oh, they acknowledge me. They accepted my presence. Okay, I'll speak with them. I will speak that they may hear me. Now he says, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. He's like a mailman passing message up and down, up and down. If you see the beauty of it, Moses was moving up and down, Aaron was moving in and out. Correct? Yes. God told Aaron, put on all the clothing, golden belts, all okay. Now, go in, go out. Go in, go out. Moses, where are you? Lord, I'm in the mountain. Okay. Go down, come up. Go down, come up. Ascend, descend. Walk and come back. Go out and come back. Why the Lord call all of us? You must bear the reproach outside the camp, not inside. Why? Which means, you have to go outside the camp, open the gate, go outside. You should not be killed by the ravenous beast or the wolf because you are going to witness the Lord. You are stepping outside the territory where you will tread over serpent. All power has been given unto you. You go and preach the gospel, witness the Lord to the souls, and you come back to the fellowship, come back to the safe haven where you will fellowship with your precious brethren. You are still alive. Go in, go out. Kings, they go to the battle, the gates of Jerusalem open. David goes with all the chariots and the army. King Saul resting in the palace. People witness David going in. People witness David coming back. When they see David coming back afar off, they say, oh, he defeated the enemy. Why? Because he's alive. If he did not return, which means he was killed in the battle. The two sons of Prophet Eli, they were killed in the battle. So, when people see David is coming in a far distance, they were celebrating. Amalekite, they could not hold David. Philistine, they could not hold David. Ammonite, they could not hold David. God is with David. They were celebrating. The same celebration introduced jealousy to King Saul. Correct? The Saul who was struggling with distressing spirit, who received refreshing, feeling well in his soul when David played music, the same Saul, when David went and played the music in terms of battle, David became the distressing spirit for Saul. He got so angry. He was so scared. He wanted to kill David because of people were rejoicing, celebrating, respecting, loving David. King Saul thought, what happened to my limelight? Why people don't love me anymore? From where this weariness came in? It was not from the Lord. It was not from the Spirit of God. David would have thrown his life for King Saul. Amen? If it is the Lord's will. Whenever Saul threw a javelin, what the scripture says? David saw a javelin come to his face. He escaped. Why? He can't simply say, King Saul, you greatly love me, right? You can kill me. No. There is one king above him who loves David more than King Saul. Who wants David more than King Saul. David needs to preserve his life. He fled from the presence. Book of Psalm, chapter 1, verse 1. Do not walk into the counsel of ungodly, the javelin. Do not sit in the seats of scornful, the javelin. David fled from the presence. That is how he started the book of Psalm. How beautiful. A prophet, a priest, a psalmist, a king, a shepherd, a leader, a man fell and he arose. Aaron is not any different. The same way David fell because he lost his son, child with Bathsheba, the Lord replaced with Solomon. Aaron also lost his two sons, isn't it? Not one, he lost two sons. And the Lord did not show any mercy. He just burned them. Nadab, Abihu, gone. Moses told Aaron, my brother, God told me to tell you, hold your peace. And scripture says, Aaron held his peace. What an obedient servant of God. Miriam tried to deceive Aaron. Let's speak evil of Moses. Aaron, he was exposed to his flesh. So he was actually joining the thoughts of Miriam. But who was thrown out of the camp? Aaron or Miriam? It was Miriam. But that doesn't mean that Aaron was not punished. He also went through the pain of losing his two sons. But he held his peace. Why? The Lord says, you still have two left. Two left. If they want to stay alive, tell them, don't do what these two did. Jacob, if you want to stay alive, don't do what your twin Esau did. The Lord is speaking to all of us from the fleshful nature of our very own loved ones. Don't split. Put them into one. Now, what we hear, the Lord said to Moses, bring the words. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. Praise the Lord. So far, we only heard the washing of the clothes of the priest, Aaron, the sons, and the sons. Amen. Now the Lord says, I'm going to speak to them, they will hear me, wash them, prepare them, wash their clothes. Not a physical clothing. It's a representation. The Lord says, don't come to me with spots on your clothing. Should be blameless. Amen. Should be blameless. And he says, and be ready against the third day. He prepares, and the third day of the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about. Until verse 11, it's all gentle breeze, so sweet. You know, it makes you sleepy because of the Lord's blessedness. From verse 12, the Lord changes the tone. Verse 12, the Lord changes the tone. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself. The Lord is not bargaining. He is not requesting. He says, take heed to yourself. Take it or leave it. Today is the day I shall place you a blessing and curse. Take it or leave it. Up to you. Choose. And he says that ye go not up into the mount. First commandment. Amen. Don't go into the mount. What is the second commandment? Or touch the border of it. Don't even touch the border of the mount. What? A huge mountain. You are telling the people, don't go near, don't touch the border. Chapter 19, we are standing. Chapter 24, the Lord said, worship me afar off. Amen. Now he says, whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. What the people would think. We were walking in the dry land when the Red Sea was divided, celebrating, oh victory, the Lord's hand is with us. You tell us, don't come to the mountain, don't touch the mountain. Are we like the leprous people who can't come into the city because our skin is full of sickness? Are we people who do not please your presence? But the Lord was not doing any of it. He was preparing them to be able to climb the mountain when they change, when they receive the change that he was feeding them. A change of raiment. Now, he says, not just the people, right? He intentionally, so specifically, talked about beast. Verse 13 says, there shall not an hand touch it. Not an hand. Don't touch it. Don't touch the mountain. I embraced it as my holy presence. Don't pollute it. And he says, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up unto the mount. Until then, don't touch. There are similar commandments, there are similar incidents happen concerning this verse. Two words spoken, stoned to death or shot to death. Amen. They had no sniper gun at that time. All they had was spear or bow and arrow. Let's talk about spear. When Phinehas threw the spear, it's like shot to death. Phinehas was standing where he was standing. The spear that was released from his hand went all the way, a far distance, hit those two who were committing abomination, destroyed their abomination. Yet it could not stop. 24,000 got killed. But that abomination, that was stopped by something that was thrown by a vessel of God. But that vessel of God was not standing there with a sword. But rather, the spear that was thrown did the job. When David threw the stone, he did not go and fight with sword. He just stood the place where he is, received the strength of what the Lord has blessed him with, trusted the Lord, put his hand inside the shepherd bag, and hence there was a stone. He found the stone, threw it with all his heart, with all his might, with all his strength. He threw it. It went and did the job. He was not there. Shot to death. With a spear, with a stone. Shot to death. Aren't we killing our old self every day? The Lord says the old man must die. Amen? By how you kill? Feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Stand firm. Stand where you are. Receive the leading of the Lord. Speak, pray, sing, throw,
stones or spears, offer prices or sacrifices. You should learn to take the good example from the bad incidents and take the bad example from the good incident. Because the Lord called all of us, be wise in my word. You can learn from King Saul, how the King of Kings do the work. You can learn from Goliath, how the Lord raises adversity. You can learn from Rabshakeh, how the Lord deals with the princes of the land, of that particular land. Every wicked land has a prince. He leads like a chief captain of all the evil spirit, all the wickedness. There is a prince. There is a battle. They fight in different layers. Amen? The Lord says, come up hither. Climb up. Let's go to level 1, level 2. Face a mighty battle. Don't get stuck. It's simple battle. It's nothing. The Lord can do great things. If you want to do great things for the Lord, be prepared for the great battles. Amen? Comes with a price. Comes with a price. David could have chosen, I'll go and keep my sheep. What? What is the battle? One lion, one bear came. The Lord delivered the lamb and me from that one lion, one bear. Small battle. No. Great God is with David in that little thing. Now David says, I am prepared for the bigger battle. Great God is with David in the bigger thing. But the truth is, there is no little miracle or big miracle. Great God is with you in small things. Great God is with you in big things. Because of that, all your life is greatest thing ever that can happen to your life. Because He is with you. Do not prorate God's work in your life. Do not prorate the importance of God's assembling, God's gathering. Praise and worship is same important as sermon. Sermon is same important as Friday fellowship. Friday fellowship is same as important as prayer gathering. There is no prorating. If you can prorate, the Holy Ghost would say, oh, I will come at 60% of my garment. Sunday, oh, application is oversubscribed. I will come with 90%. No, one Spirit, one God. He is Almighty. Nothing more, nothing less. Don't prorate Him. You can't contain Him. Apostle Paul says, if we write books about Him, okay, let's write. Let's write. We have so many books. Let's add. He says, the whole world cannot comprehend. We can't put the books in the whole world. No space. Because He is great to the point where you can't measure Him. Now, that is the God whom we serve. God gave a command. Stone to death, shot to death. Whatever it is, put them to death. Our flesh. Amen? Not the disobedient people. The Lord is the Lord for both obedient and disobedient. Because this disobedient can turn out to be obedient tomorrow. And this obedient can turn out to be disobedient tomorrow. The one who is stronger will be weaker tonight. The one who is weaker will be stronger tomorrow. For the Lord, I am the Lord of all of you. I love you the same way I love every one of you. Why? We are bound to present tense, past tense, future tense. He is bound to His grace. He has seen your life through. He sees your past and future like this. But for us, we have to live to see. Walk by faith. Amen? Shepherd's bag is where we are focusing. May the Lord guide us. Abundance of your heart. Now, the Lord said, verse 13, whether it be beast or man. Why? Lord, talk about promised land, children of Israel, God's children. What do you mean by beast? Why are you bringing on par with this beast? They are created for us. We are superior being over the beast. But still we behave like the predator behavior that is in us. Hunting people with words. Hurting people with our violence, our thoughts. There is a beastly nature deeply rotting in all of us. Isn't it? The Lord says, put that flesh to death. Let my spirit bear witness with your spirit. It's a battle of your mind. Every day, we fight a battle with ourselves. And this beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounded long, they shall come up to the mount. Come up hither. The trumpet goes. Nehemiah built the wall. And he said, people, you are all scattered across the wall. Or the Lord would say, I am the builder and maker of the house. I can see my true fivefold ministries in Zambia, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Lagos, Philippines, India, US, all the places, Norway, Japan. The Lord says, oh, you are all separated. I will blow the trumpet, tarry ye, all come along. You will come together, assemble as one. Until then, finish the work that I have delegated to you. Moses delegated the works. Jesus delegated the works.
God Almighty, He delegates His works to who? His children. We are called His fellow husbandry, fellow workers. God's husbandry. Amen? We build the wall with Him, by Him, in Him, through Him, for Him. Now, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Who washed their clothes? They washed their clothes. What Jesus said? Oh, you decide to follow me, deny yourself. Wash your clothes. Don't order some service. Are you free? Come and pray for me. Come and wash my clothes. I'm very busy. I have some homework to do. No, wash your clothes. Carry your cross. Verse 15. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and a voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. What do you mean by exceeding loud? Is it like more than what you can bear? It's more than what you deserve. Exceedingly great reward. Whatever the Lord has given us. Whenever the Lord says, I'm going to blow a trumpet exceedingly loud, He's going to do something great and mighty. Amen. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people because the Lord told him to go down. Amen. Now, what Moses says, when the people, they tremble in the camp, verse 16, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Wow. Moses, after all this done, he brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Peter and John, they saw the lame who was sick, could not stand up. They healed him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They lifted him up because he could stand, and they brought him into the beautiful gate, the temple of the Lord, physically. But Moses also did the same thing. Moses had to bring the people to meet with God. He was a mediator. If you want to meet people, go through me. Someone said the same thing. Our Savior has always told all of us, I am the only way. Lest any man put any man in front of me, it becomes the mount that you touch. You will be put to death. The holy mount of God, the holy portion of the Lord, the holy tabernacle of the Lord. What happened to Uzzah? Can you say Uzzah was righteous, so loving, so sincere? He was just being so fervent just to go and hold the ark before it falls to the ground because the oxen shaked. The scripture says the Lord strike him and he was dead. If what Uzzah did was righteous, how can the righteous hand of the Lord can strike the righteous vessel of God? The intent might be good, but it also blessed the people to escape from the Lord's wrath. He was killed. But the scriptures say the Lord struck him. Whenever you see the word, the Lord struck him, the Lord struck him, the Lord cannot strike his own love. He would see some wickedness, he would have to put into it. The Lord struck Nabal. The Lord struck the king who killed James, correct? The Lord struck the king. He died. Now, the one who touched the Ark of the Covenant, not supposed to touch, because the Lord did not tell that if the oxen shake, if the Ark falls, go and touch it. We cannot be smarter than God. We cannot add anything that is not in the scripture. Saying, whatever the Lord said, it is leading to my understanding. I know I do this in love, in truth, in sincerity. So let me go before the ark. Let me add one beautiful, mighty revelation, what God told me. Let me go and catch the ministry of reconciliation that is falling down. The ministry of redemption is falling down. Oh, the ministry of God is being destroyed. I am going to save. If you want to become the savior, when there is only one savior, only one will be left. It is him. He will be gone. Uzzah was gone. And the Lord said, people, don't touch the mount. Wait. I will send my Moses. He will wash you, prepare you, bring you out of the camp to meet with me. Wait for the appointed time of life. Do not rush. Don't be impatient. If we want to be impatient, the Lord would say, can I do the same thing? You're provoking me. If he was impatient in our life, none of us would be sitting here. Not one. I'm telling you, not one would be sitting here. If the Lord chose to be impatient with us, He waited for you. He waited with patience. He trusted you. But you can't trust your brother. You can't trust your sister. But He trusted you. See how ironic it is? He trusted all of us, but we don't trust one another.
He trusted the growth of our life in His word, but we could not trust the growth of someone because our eyes tell, there is no way he will turn to be a good man. No way. You know, my sixth sense is actually way beyond the Lord's wisdom. Let's come back to senses. Tabernacle. You are the tabernacle. The mount where the Lord descends. You can be the part of that solid rock. Part of that mount. Part of that stone. We have a privilege. If we don't understand this clearly, we can't understand 24. Why? It's all the preparation of the Lord to prepare the priest, to build a kingdom of priests. But the Lord also called all of us, I had called you unto me, kings and priests. Now, Moses, he brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at another part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as a smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly, and the voice of the trumpet sounded long, waxed louder and louder. And Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Moses spake, God answered him by a voice. Do we listen to the voice of the Lord? Do we? You know how he speaks? A sister will come and tell you testimony. My brethren, I did this, the Lord taught me a lesson. The essence of the testimony, the fruit of the testimony is the voice of God for you. Eat it. Digest it. Whatever the answer that you are finding, you will find it there. Don't wait for the Lord to come and shake the land of something, the mighty building fall down. Don't expect some physical way of conviction. He's very subtle, to the point whereby those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who run for assembly, for fellowship, to feel the experience of God's children communing as one, you will become more and more sensitive in a good way. You can see the Lord's work. Even from someone who come and curse you, you know, oh, the Lord is sending me a test. Am I able to hold my peace? You would take everything in a good way. The Lord fed fishes, right, to all the people. Let's say you are a religious follower of Christ. You will take the fish the Lord gave me. Not even a single piece of the fish will fall to the ground. I will eat with the bone. You will die. The bone will go inside, will tear your throat. You can't breathe. You will bleed to death. You can't say, Lord, you gave the fish. You are the Almighty. I will eat as it is. No. Let every man be a liar. Whenever the Lord gives us His blessings. For instance, last Sunday, I remember after a finished sermon, I was thinking, did I say Shimei or Cushai? I didn't know. And when I reached home, I said, I was telling Cushai cursed with David. No, it was Shimei who cursed David. I was wrong. Every flesh, all of us, we are not perfect. But we have the desire to serve Him. So remember in your life, for instance, we are all here serving the Lord. Every single bad thing that we said, we committed, shame on us. But every single good thing, beautiful sacrifice that we were able to offer, glory to Him. That is our life. As simple as that. Intention makes you to stand in His kingdom. We are not perfect. Do you really think those who survived the plague of firstborn, were they all so perfect? No. They were all so selfish. But yet, they obeyed, went inside the house. They escaped. But the Lord wants us not to be like them, but to be the ones who were circumcised in heart, born of spirit as second generation, entered into the promised land with your Joshua, Yeshua. Now let's read this. Brother Clement, please read this for us as I want to write something. From verse 20 all the way to 25, brother. Five verses.
Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you have warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priest and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them.
Amen. Look at this verse. Moses had always good exercise given by the Lord. Go down, come up, go down, come up, go down, come up. You look at the verse 24. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up. Oh, Lord, how many times? As many times he wants. The Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. Go down, come up with Aaron. Amen? Not in vain. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord. Don't let them to break through and come up unto the Lord. Don't let them cross the line, lest I consume them, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, unto them. Now, before we go to 1 Samuel, let's read this verse, which is verse 21, same chapter. Same chapter 19, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. What the Lord says, don't let me see them breaking the commandment that I placed for them, lest I see them. Because the Lord says, if I gaze, they will be perished. Light consumes darkness. Amen. The sun comes in the morning, the night runs away. And the Lord spreads his light and the whole earth is lightened. So the Lord turns his eyes and gazes at us. The Lord says, I can. If you can turn your eyes upon me, I can turn my face upon you, and I can help you to destroy your flesh. But do we have the desire? Now, Moses, Aaron is beautiful. Now, let's think about the kingdom of priest. That is how the book of Revelation presents it, right? Kingdom of priest. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel. What happened between King Saul and David? What is the exchange of garment? Let's not forget, last Sunday, the scripture says, Saul, he gave his armor to who? David. Amen? This is so beautiful. But David, being the one who tested, he rejected it. Correct? He said, no, it is not made for me. He tested, tried, it doesn't fit him. It is not his understanding what the Lord gave him. He let it go. He had the courage to tell the king, no, I'm not following what you said. But he just took his shepherd's bag, his shepherd's staff, and the sling, and he went for the battle. Amen? Now look at verse 19. We finished until what? Last chapter 17, yes? Yeah, let's look at chapter 18, verse 1. I will read the first four verses. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Saul took him and told him, you don't go anywhere, not even to your father's house. Because he saw the Lord is with David, and Saul wanted to keep David with him. Why Saul did not believe the Lord can be with him? The Lord was with him. The Lord granted victory to Saul, all the wars. The Lord called Saul through Prophet Samuel, gave him the new heart. The Lord showed him that he is mighty and he is with him. But now King Saul believes the Lord is with David, so he must keep David. Verse 2 says, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle, everything that he had as his possession, he gave it to David. Now the question is, did David accept it? Because he is someone who rejected the father of Jonathan. Jonathan is no one. So here, the son of Saul, Jonathan, he gave his garments, not the armor, and not just that, the robe, to David, but this time he took it. He accepted it because they were knitted closely in love. Friends, amen? In love. So let me separate this, the fight of Shepherd David against Goliath, and the relationship between David to King Saul, David to friend Jonathan. Saul tried to clothe David with his armor, David rejected. And Jonathan, he gave everything that he had to David, and David received it. And after Jonathan died, David said, no love on this earth can surpass the love of Jonathan for me in my life. So David was clothed by the son, but not by the father, correct? Now, I ask you a question. What if David went for the battle, not with the simple shepherd's bag, not with the staff, not with the stones, but with the mighty armor of Saul, and he was able to fight throughout the night and finally managed to kill Goliath, what the kingdom of Israel would say? If the armor of Saul can do this much, what Saul can do? A simple shepherd, just carrying the armor of King Saul, he defeated Goliath, mighty King Saul. Bless the name of the Lord. If the armor can do this much greatness, King Saul, oh, you are at a whole different level, man. We worship you. Be there. But David said, no, not by might, not by your kingship, not by your armor, but by my shepherd's bag and his smooth stone and his staff that comfort me and the word I speak in his truth, in faith. He went and he defeated Goliath. One chance. He didn't take too much time. The Lord says, I can heal the iniquity of the land in how many days? One day. Now, let's read 18 from verse 5 to verse 16. Verse 5 to verse 16, please.
So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened, as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward.
Yes.
And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand, as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand.
Yes.
And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice.
Amen.
Now, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul.
Departed.
Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000.
Amen.
And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him.
Amen.
Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David,
Amen.
Because he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, here is my older daughter Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles.
Amen.
For Saul thought, let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. So David said to Saul, who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?
How I can be the son-in-law to the king? So David stops with a question mark. Now, I want us to focus on the verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And Saul, I, David, from that day onward." Which day, my brethren? Not the day when he killed Goliath. No. Not the day when he played music and Saul felt refreshed and well. But the day when his power was challenged. The day when he thought the kingdom could be under his subjection, he was scared. And that from that day onward, Saul, I, David. Chapter 18, verse 9 says, Saul, I, David, from that day onward, for what? To kill him. But there was a shield was put on David before Saul eyed David to kill him. And what was that shield? Chapter 16, verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now read this together. Chapter 16, verse 13. Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Chapter 18, verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Before the world hates you, the Lord shielded you already. Before you face a storm or pain or affliction, the Lord has prepared a way out already. He loved you first. The anointing of the Lord was holding David even before Saul intended to kill him. Because of that, Saul cannot kill David. Do you hear me? Saul cannot kill David because the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Saul prophesied, but that prophecy meant nothing because he said, "I will smite thee. Come and smite him." David told to Goliath, "I will smite thee," the previous chapter. What happened? He smote him, killed him, head was removed. Now Saul said, "Oh, let me say the same thing. David, I will smite thee. Try." Son of David, sons of David, daughters of David, Jesus Christ, the brothers and sisters in Christ, can never be touched or challenged by anything, by anyone, without the approval of him. He must permit. Now, David fled from his presence. Why? The anointing is moving David. Turn to the right. Turn to the left. Go to the back. Go to the front. Speak. Stay quiet. Run. Walk. Sit. Sleep. Whatever. David is under the subjection of anointing. He was doing fantastic until he saw Bathsheba. But actually, he was confounded by the work of the Lord before he saw Bathsheba. Correct? Abigail was so beautiful. Good countenance. The Lord struck Nabal, gave Abigail to David. David Uriah, you know. We should be wise, man. Why should we be relying on God to come down and struck people all the time? Let's do this for him. Let's strike Uriah. Let's save time. Because God is so busy. He's watching over all of us. He's so gracious. Well, he struck Nabal, right? We can also strike Uriah. He gave you Abigail, right? You can also take Bathsheba. He was not confounded by anyone. He was confounded by the goodness of God in his life. Because he wanted to justify his action. Don't push God's work to justify what you decide to get. It could be your work or promotion or your health. Whatever it is, my brethren. Stand firm. Do not lean. Because it won't help. His work can be the biggest confusion for you if you are not led by Spirit. That is why the disciples of Christ, they wanted to bring down fire on the people because Elijah did it in the past. You can't take examples. You lead to the Spirit of the Lord. Now, David received the word from the people that, you know, the one who killed Goliath will get the daughter of king. But they did not say which daughter. So what Saul did, let's do some divisive plan. I will give you my first daughter. David rejected. Why David is keep on rejecting Saul? No. David is rejecting what happened to the anointed of God. There is a momentary blindness, something that is holding Saul. David could not say yea. He can only say nay. Let your A be A, nay be nay. If David say, my king told me, anointed of God,
So I must put on the armor. I'll go and try with Goliath. Saul, in case it doesn't work, just I'll come back and change my garment. You won't return. Goliath will devour you. No second chance. David was led by the Spirit of God, and Saul was scared of him. To the point that I must eliminate. Do you see a beautiful pattern here? Then Saul got triggered by the beautiful dance of beautiful women. Correct? Herod was influenced by the beautiful dance of his beautiful daughter. Solomon was deceived by the beautiful dance of all the beautiful women from different nations. And they said, maybe Ashtaroth is also part of God's plan. Let's build a worship for him. If you think this brother or this sister was so wrong in my life, so if she says something good to me, I won't trust her. You should not read the book of Proverbs. You should not touch the book of Psalms. Because it was written by a man who committed adultery with Bathsheba, who killed Uriah. That is the man who wrote the book of Psalms. Don't read. Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, this is pouring out wisdom, was written by a man called Solomon who built high places for Ashtaroth. He wrote it. Don't read it. You can't pass the Bible if we are trying to be so smart. The Bible was written by God's people who are not perfect. But the Spirit of the Lord surpassed their imperfection. And you could still see some translation error. Why the Lord says, there is still some spots, man. That is why the perfection is not done. It is given for correction and reproofing. Amen? Let every man be a liar. We all make mistakes, but do not judge one another by that mistake. The truth is, the mistake of someone could be the deep downfall of your life. It's a trap. Now, Saul fell into the trap of what he invited. Who told Jesse, I want your son? Saul. Who told Jesse, I won't leave your son, I will keep him with me, I want him? Who told that? Saul. Now you want to kill him? You ask for it, face it. You ask for David, face it. Saul believed only David's musical instrument can make his soul to be refreshed and well. Then who is God? The distressing spirit upon Saul made him to lose his focus on the mighty Spirit of the Lord. He relied on David's musical instrument. He relied on David's success in the battle. He forgot that there is one behind David. The harp prepared for the battle. Victory is of the Lord. It was not David. Later on, people of Israel saw David fell to the deep. But the one difference is Solomon was not consumed. David was not consumed. They all restored. But there are few people they could not be restored. The Lord said, may, I may, you may. He says, leave it to me. Don't decide. Don't premeditate. He is a deciding factor. Now let's read a few verses as I close. Where did we stop? Verse 19, right? Start from verse 19. But it came to pass at that time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, should have been, the same way the armor should have been taken by David, but he rejected. The same way we should have been with the agreement to death, hell, but not, it didn't happen. The Lord make it annulled. And she was given unto Adriel the Mahalathite to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the king pleased him. After so many things of displeasing to Saul, everything was displeasing for what? The women dancing, singing songs. Oh, Saul killed 1,000, David thing killed 10,000. Saul was like, no, there is someone who is tenfold than me. No way. The praises of people, of flesh, displeased the flesh of Saul. He got provoked, triggered. Badly. He made him so weary. So when he heard his daughter loves David, he said, oh, if I become a father-in-law, maybe David will spare my life. You know, maybe David won't kill me. Maybe I can deceive David to kill him. He did. Even after the daughter of Saul married David, Saul still perceived to kill him. He even went to his room when he was sleeping, but he was not there. Michal said, my father is coming. Escape from the window. Oh, my dad, David is not here. He yet wanted to make his daughter widow by killing her husband. Look at the hatred, jealousy, the self-loathing of inferiority complex. Saul was so inferior in the sight of David. But I think David had no clue about it. In that situation, he completely forgot the Almighty, to whom all glory and honor unto him. Saul wanted to keep everything for him. Now,
And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of Philistines may be against him. Therefore, Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? When Moses was talking to the people of Israel who rebelled against him, Korah, Tatam, all those people, Tufti, elders of people, seemeth unto you, the Lord called you, delivered you from Egypt, is it a small thing to you? And they were keep on telling, yes, 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 and they adored them. Is it a small thing to all of us to be here in this small land, this small place, going against all the odds, all these years? The Lord is keeping, shielding, protecting. For what? For us to remain in the same way? No. He is going to do something mighty. If you are not ready, you will fall. I repeat, if you are not ready, you will fall. So, David is speaking, and all the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. The same way Moses went down, returned to God with the word of the people, the servants of King Saul went down, talked to David, took his word, and returned to the kings with the words. Correct? Passing message. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of Philistines. Don't think Saul is a bad man. There is one more who is even more worse than Saul here. David, he did the same thing to Uriah. He made a well-established cunning plan. Send him to battle after battle after battle until he gets killed. At least for Saul, he told him, get some 100 foreskins. Let me see if you survive. But David survived Goliath. Come on. He can survive anything. But David could not survive himself. Correct? David could not survive the King David. But the shepherd David survived everything. The servant David survived everything. The musician David survived everything. But the King David, who went onto the balcony, the portico, to be able to be on a higher place, to see all the houses, then he said, Bathsheba, I want her. The King David could not overcome the servant David. When your power, when your flesh, when your desire overcomes the child of God in you, you have to face a consequence. Through some prophet. Because the Lord spoke it. Nathan came. Someone who spoke. The word of the Lord is speaking to all of us. Echoes of mercy. Amen. Last few verses. And when his servants told David this word, it pleased David well. Because David would not do anything for nothing. He would not be considered as a beggar. Someone throw, he take it. No, he always want to earn it. Let it be wife or kingdom or anything, he is a worker of the Lord, a servant. He said, I can't simply take the daughter, man. It's a small thing. Give me a challenge. Let me prove myself. Prove the worthy of thy calling. David said, let me have a challenge so that I can put my faith into work. And King Saul said, 100 foreskins. David said, wow, nice. Well done. Let me do it. He went for what? Knowing not he may return or not, but he must go into the battle. He went. The scripture says, verse 16, I want all of us to read that verse 16 before we go here. Verse 16, the same chapter says, but all Israel and Judah, why Judah? Come on, there is only one kingdom. Why Judah? Because the Lord knows I am going to split it. Kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah. House of Saul, house of David. House of Benjamin will dominate kingdom of Israel. House of Judah will dominate by the kingdom that David will be the king. Then the Lord united, right? But there was a split before unity. Here it says, all Israel and Judah. But that time there was no separation. But the Lord says, Judah, because David, you are from the line of Judah. From you, the lion of Judah will come. Judah has to be mentioned. All Israel, Judah loved David. Why? Because he went out, came in before them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What Aaron did, my brethren? Where should I write? I will write here. what Aaron, what Moses did? Up, down. What Aaron did? In, out. And what David did? Went in, went out. Why? He went in for battle. He went out after the battle. Aaron went in to offer sacrifices. He went out after sacrifices. Correct? Priest offering sacrifices. King fighting the battle. Correct? So David and Aaron, they did the same. Goeth in and went out. And people, when they saw, oh, there will be a huge announcement. David with the armies of Israel, they are going out of the gates. They are all going out. People saw, we don't know how many days they will be in the battle. We don't know how they will come alive. After a few days, when he comes back, everybody rejoice. David is coming. Battle after battle after battle could not kill David. He was alive. So people loved him. Maybe he is the promised king. Because King Saul has become inactive. Why? Saul is very busy in being distressed, being weary, being so sad. For nothing. Why? Saul should be celebrating for the work of the Lord is going through the vessel, but rather he wanted to be the only vessel through which the work of the Lord should go. That is where he fell. God is in the midst of his children. Not in one, in all. Now, what David said in verse 26, right? Wait, 27. Where David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins. How many Saul asked? 100. How many David brought? 200. Did I read correctly? Verse 25 says, Saul says, give me 100 of foreskins. David says, I will give you double of what you want. Double the blessing. Take it. And David brought the foreskins and they gave them in full tale to the king. He might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to his wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Now, it added one more layer of burden. At first, God loves him. Now, my daughter loves him. Now, my whole kingdom loves him. Everybody loves him, so I hate him. Jesus said, they hate you without a cause. They hate you before they hated you, they hated me. Joseph was hated for no reason. David was hated for no reason. He would give his life for his wife and his king, but they didn't see that. And Saul, yet more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. This is the focus of today's sermon. One single word. Continually. Where did we read this verse? And the Lord told Moses, Moses, tell the people to bring the oil. Okay. Tell Aaron and the priest. Okay. Let them be prepared. I want the lamp to burn continually from evening to morning. Amen. Continually. Oh, Aaron, come with the breastplate of all the 12 stones and the golden plate of the to bear the iniquity of holy things on your forehead. Come with the garments as beautiful as you are. Okay, Lord. As a remembrance before me, continually. What? Continually. Now, what happened to David? What happened to Saul? Look at the sequence. Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Saul eyed to kill David from that day forward, two chapters later. Distressing spirit fell upon Saul. He felt very weak, very distressed, troubled. David had to play songs. Saul feels refreshed so that the Lord can put David where he is supposed to be. Correct? The Lord has to make a way. Where there seems to be no way, the Lord made a way. David entered. That's it. He's like a spy entering into the kingdom of Israel. Few months later, he becomes the king of Israel. Now, that is not sufficient for David. He must remain as a priest. He was a king, but he forgot that he must remain as a priest. That is where he fell. Now, look at the sequence. Saul became David's enemy continually. Can you and me become the son of David's enemy continually? Oh yes, we can. When Jesus said, woe unto him through whom the offense comes, it is better if there is a stone around his neck and throw him into the sea. Which stone? Which ocean? Who is that person? Is the Lord cursing him? Let's say I am the person. I bring offense in the name of the Lord. Would the Lord say, it is better I put some stone around your neck, not my feet, not my hand, neck,
to bring my neck down, because stiff-necked, right? Too much pride, too much ego, too much anger, too much overconfidence, to bring your neck down. I throw you into the ocean where you can't breathe and you will die. David threw the stone, a smooth stone, went sunk into the head of Goliath, he died. The Lord, whenever He speaks to us, the word of God is a double-edged sword. It pierces, sunk into our heart. Our old man died. Oh, was I like this? Oh, I don't want to be like this. No. No way. I don't want to go to that state of my life. I prefer to be gracious, merciful, to follow the Lord. No way. I'm a new man. The Lord called all of us, be a new man. Remain as a new wine. Do not stitch your garment with your old man. It will rent the clothes. It will rent worse. But now, when Saul became David's enemy continually, if our light is not burning, our heart, in his presence, we could become the vessel of lack of understanding. Day by day, as we breathe, we will become the Lord's enemy continually. The vessel of adversary is making enemies to the Lord continually. Every single day, there is a vessel of adversary being hitched by the enemy. The flesh takes over a person and he becomes the enemy of the Lord, continually spreading gossips, sowing discord, spreading evil, or changing the law and order. All the evil people on the sitting on the powerful seats, they change the law and order so that the evil can spread faster, correct? Continually. We can never become God's enemy continually. May the Lord bring our head to His presence, surrender, submit. That stone, the chief cornerstone, the only foundation, the truth, can set us free. From who? From you. From me. We are the biggest enemy we are fighting to go near the Lord's presence. Do not be dismayed by the mighty armies around you. There is one champion who came out of that mighty army. You. Your lack of understanding. Your flesh. We must beat it to the ground with the stone of the words of the Lord. With the leading of the shepherd's staff, not by our mighty, beautiful knowledge and wisdom, profiteth nothing. Now I ask you a question. Did David kill Goliath to get the daughter of Saul? Did David kill Goliath to rule the kingdom of Israel? What was the desire behind David killing Goliath? What was the desire behind David even stepping into the battle as one single man? It was not Michal. It was not Saul. David uttered the reason only when he faced Goliath. He did not tell this to the people. He did not tell this to Saul. But he told something to Goliath. He justified his life. I am here because of that. What is that? One single word he spoke. Look at the word he spoke. Verse 45, David speaks to Goliath. Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord. That is the armor nobody saw on that valley. Why? Everybody is scared. If Prophet Samuel is having a tea, you can see the armor. Oh, you are going against David? Good luck to you. I can see the armor on his name. The name of the Lord is with which David was going to the battle, but people could not see. Why? The moment you are scared of your life, you can't see the name of the Lord in your life. Never. Because God cannot exist when fear of men exists. He exists when fear of God exists. David says, I come in the name of the Lord. Not the shepherd's back. Not the staff. Nothing to me. I come in the name of the Lord. Because of the name of the Lord, my hand chose the right stone. My mind, my life chose the right word. From my heart, the hand of the Lord guided me. And He put the strength upon me. The same way Prophet Elisha ran, outran. And same way all the God's children, they receive some supernatural strength to hit through the stone with the power, with the speed at which Goliath could not comprehend. It was so, so mighty than him. Killed him. Destroyed him. But he said, I come in the name of the Lord. Point number one. Point number two. He says, the God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and the wild beast of the earth. Beast, you hear me? The word beast.
that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Point number two. I come in the name of the Lord, reason number one, to show everyone, to tell the Philistines, there is a God in the land of Israel. Proclamation. The last one, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into your hand. That is the reason David had to reject the armor of Saul. You don't need someone's name to justify action. Never use the name of God's servant. Oh, Brother Branham said this. That is Brother Branham's armor. Oh, Brother Gant said this. That is Brother Gant's armor. No. Refer to scripture every point of your life. If they are alive, they will rebuke you to the core that you won't say their name again. All their life, all the servants of God, Moses said, don't use my name. Don't use my law. I am nothing. It is all the Lord. But people built a high place for Moses. People built an armor for every single servant of God. They said, I will put on the same armor, same garment, same book. No. The Lord is miraculous. He is mighty. He is mysterious. He do things in a way that our mind cannot comprehend. Do not put the God Almighty into the suit of men. The train of his robe fills the temple. He clothes himself with the raiment of light. You can't define him. You can't design him. You cannot control him. He must come and tell you, shall we speak? Until then, we stay with reverence and honor. As I close, let's all rise. We pray and close. We continue next week. The very last verse is the desire of our heart. Kingdom of priests is filled with priests and people who are also God's kings, princes. Because he's called the Prince of Kings. And he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the High Priest of Priests. So we have this responsibility to let the king to rule our hearts. Amen? Your heart is his land. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rule my heart through Christ. Through Christ. Amen? Through Christ. So he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the priest. He called all of us to come unto me as a priest. Book of Revelation says, royal priesthood built upon the chief cornerstone, spiritual priesthood. Let's look at the key words here. The kingdom of priests, we are called to go up and down, mountain and valley, he is there. We are called to go in and out, to be a child of God, servant of God, brother and sister in Christ, in his fellowship, in his church, where we see like-minded, one-minded brethren. But that is not it. You must go out, preach the gospel to those who do not know Christ, who do not know the Lord, so we can be always in. The Lord says, woman, preach about me, go to the city. She went into the city, talked about him, but she was with him, went in, went out. Aaron, come in, go out. David, you are inside the kingdom, so safe, so nice. No, go for the battle, come in. Go for the battle, come in. That is the definition of bear his reproach outside the camp. Bear his reproach outside the camp. For Moses met the people of God in the camp. He brought them out of the camp and he blessed them to meet with God. Now, Saul's armor, David rejected. Jonathan's armor, David accepted. Not just garment, robe. Whatever Jonathan had, he gave everything to him. Complete as a whole, he gave it to David. David took it. Because the intent of Saul was death. The intent of Jonathan was also death. But not the death of David, but the death of Jonathan. Jonathan died because of his friendship for David. Isn't it? He just died for him. Two deaths. One, death of David in flesh. Two, death of Jonathan for love. The intent was so pure, David took it. And Jesus said about a greater love. And David, he behaved wisely. He was accepted by all. This all is all things of God in our life. Let's read the last verse as we pray and close. Verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth. So the battle of righteousness is going on in every single fivefold ministry. In every country, there is a prince of the land. There is a wickedness. There is an enemy we are fighting. There is a evil that is spreading across. So the princes of the Philistines went forth. Fine. Greater is he who is in me than who is in the world. Let's see the last thing. And it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. We should read this with the Son of David. There is only one name that can set in our life. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only Savior. That name that is etched, set on your forehead. By how? The Lord blessed all of us the knowledge of the Holy, understanding, wisdom. He gave the wisdom. If we behave wisely, His name will be set upon your forehead. Only then you can enter the promised land. The princes of this world, your life, your flesh, all the lust, all the desire will come and fight against you. It's fine. There is a mighty warrior standing next to us with a simple shepherd's bag, with a shepherd's staff, with a gracious stone in his hand, smooth stone. But he will bring it down, everything in love. In love, not the hurting sharp stones. In love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all pray and close. Our Lord, our God, gracious Heavenly Father, the Good Shepherd who blessed all of us to receive, who obtained the grace to serve Thee. Grace is not just time. It is the time that we have with the truth from the Lord. It is the time that we have with the love from God. It is the time that we have because of the mercy that rewrote our life in God, for God, by God. Lord, we pray. May You bless us, Lord, to learn from the high priest Aaron and from the king of Israel, David, how You anointed them, how You clothed them, and how You send them support. A beautiful friendship of Jonathan, a beautiful friendship of Moses, Lord. They were so rich because of the fellowship that they provided, that they were received from You, Lord. You are the Lord of Lords, Lord of Hosts, who works in Your children, through Your children. We see You in one another. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Praise the Lord.